With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to continue our study regarding the spirit of a man and how faith works. Okay, we want to just want to review before we get started tonight. According to John chapter 3, verse 6, and John 6, 63, 1 Corinthians 2, 14, faith is conceived in your spirit. So faith is born. It's not taught. You're impregnated with faith by the incorruptible Word of God in the seed or the ovum of your spirit. Caleb got a hold of a little bit this the other night, and he started asking questions, so I had to do that whole... Praise the Lord, we didn't have to talk about the turkey baster, but he wanted to know how that seed and that egg thing works for people. Praise the Lord. So I just talked to him about the way it works in the spirit, and that just kind of sufficed it. Thank God. John chapter 3, verse 6, John 6, 63, 1 Corinthians 2, 14. So faith is born. It's imparted or lodged in your spirit by the Word of God. And the Word says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we also know that there's an anointing on the written Word. So you got your eye gate and you got your ear gate. And that's where the Word of God comes down into. And what I want you to remember tonight, what we're going to teach around is this. Everything has to pass through your heart. Whether it's coming out of your spirit or it's going down into your spirit. Everything's got to pass through your heart. Just like everything's got to pass through your esophagus. Get to your lungs, to get to your stomach. Everything passes through your esophagus. Everything, and you know, it's not supposed to go this way. The natural stuff. So the innermost part of the man is his spirit. You have a body, you wear a body, you'll shed your body. Your body will eventually be glorified as the incorruptible consumes the corruptible, or the immortality swallows up the mortality. Where there's corruption in your flesh and weakness in your flesh, it'll be swallowed up with strength when we're caught up in the middle of the air and we see Jesus. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Verse 5 through 9 says that this faith should govern your mind. And it talks specifically in Romans chapter 8 about coming up out of your spirit, out of the spirit of, if the spirit of that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, he'll give life into your mortal body. Listen, for the spirit to flow out of your spirit, it's got to pass through your heart. We just want to get that clear tonight. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And in James, it talks about how can fresh water and bad water or salty water come from the same stream. Well, it can't. So there's two streams. We see that in Isaiah as well. There's two rivers. There's two rivers that flows through a man. There's the river that comes from outside sources. Come on. That goes through your mind, but it's got to go, if it's going to pollute your spirit, because the Bible says that we're not to pollute our spirit, to keep our spirit free from pollution. Talks about religion that's pure and faultless. So we can pollute our spirit. How is it going to get polluted? If you allow things on the outside that don't line up with the Word of God to get down, it's got to pass through your heart into your spirit. It's going to touch it. It's going to pollute it, but your spirit, if you've been born again, is pure and it's new. What's the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 5? that if a man is born again, then all the old things are gone, the new has come. Now, that's not necessarily in your flesh, and it's certainly in your mind the minute you get born again. Does that need to go up? No. It's in your spirit that it's new. And as the Spirit fills, the truth of the Spirit, the revelation of the Spirit fills the heart, then it can begin to transform your mind and quicken your flesh. It's got to go, everything's got to pass through your heart. Say heart. Heart is, it's not your blood pumper. The heart is, in the Old Testament, sometimes it means the entire inner man. And in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, we see that the spirit and the soul of a man were more close. There wasn't a buffer in between them. Now that we're born again, thank God we've got a buffer. That's our heart. Our heart has been enlarged. Our heart is a place that we can feel. We have some control over this thing. We have some, you might not have the rudder in your hand, but you got the steering wheel, and that'll control the rudder. What am I saying? You might not be able to control your tongue, but you can control what goes in your heart. You can watch the ratio of what is inside of your heart, whether it's good or it's bad, whether it's in line with the Word of God, or in line with the will of God, and the Word and the will will always agree. Come on. Praise the Lord. Okay, number three. Remember that faith must fill your heart. Proverbs chapter 2:10 and Matthew 12:34 were our reference scriptures. That faith fills your heart. Fills your heart. Now, is your spirit, if you're born again, is your spirit full of faith? Yes. Because your spirit is the part of you that's created in the image of God. See, God's not necessarily short, and God's not necessarily tall, and God's not necessarily dark, and God's not necessarily Asian or Indian, but God is a spirit. We're created, God's not male or female, we're created in His image as a spirit. The eternal part of us is a spirit. The temporal part is our flesh. The part that bridges the temporal and the eternal, the part that bridges that is your soul. And your heart bridges the place between your soul and your spirit. In actuality, the heart is one with the spirit, and the heart is one with the soul. Everybody here? Okay, when I get really tan, you can see a definite line here. Because I don't have as much, I don't know, I guess they call it melon. I don't have as much melon here in the palm of my hand as I do on the top of my hand. So there's a definite line, there's a definite division. But, you know, when I'm not tan, you can't see that. And that's much the way it is where the spirit touches the soul. And where the soul touches the heart. And where the heart touches the spirit. Where the spirit touches the heart, and the heart touches the soul. It's flesh. But it's got a little bit different nature about it, a little bit different materiality about it. Jesus described your spirit as a wineskin. So the wineskin got made new, and then God put His new wine, the Holy Spirit, inside of you. And see, that rises up into something that's very much like the eternal part of what you are, your heart. And that comes into the soulish part of who you are, which was created when God breathed His spirit inside of clay. So do you see the connection? We used this example the other day, and they may not be the greatest because I got varnish in them, but if you look at your fingernail, you got a cuticle down there. Now, you know, you could cut or rip or tear the top of your fingernail and it won't hurt so bad, but you get down there to where it's touching the quick, it's going to sting a bit. Now, you get way down in here, it's going to cause a lot of pain. Why? Because that's tissue much like the rest of your finger. Let's say my soul is like the fingernail. Come on. My heart is like the cuticle. And my spirit is my finger. For example. So it's still being made up of what? Protein and minerals and all that kind of stuff. It's still made up of the same stuff, but there's a little bit different texture to it. There's a little bit different feeling to it. How many of you know that the palm of my hand, because we do work around here, isn't as sensitive as maybe the skin on my bicep. My lips are more sensitive than my cheeks. The inside of my nose, and the inside of your nose is skin, right? But it's much more sensitive than the outside of my nose. So, as the epidural, the skin on my body is made up of layers, and the outside of your tissue has more layers of dead tissue, dead cells. I don't know whether you know this or not, but you scratch your skin and dead cells go, you know. People get freaked out about that, but hey, that's just the way God created us, so live with it. And why? Think of it this way. Life is on the inside, and as I go toward the outside, it's more natural, more susceptible to corruption. Think of your spirit being the inside and the coming toward the outside. I rise up out of my spirit into my heart, which communicates through my soul, which touches my flesh. Life is on the inside of you if you're born of God. Eternal life. So, as the faith in your spirit rises up in your heart, if it fills it, now you can begin to transform your mind. You're not going to do it the other way around. You can help the process, can't you? Just like if you plant a soybean field, you can help the process of growth by going out and weeding out the butterprint and the Jimson weed and everything in between and pulling them. You have to pull them by hand, because if you don't, you know what's going to happen? If you don't pull them by hand, then you'll pull up the beans. And you can help the process of the maturation of the soybean by working around it, not necessarily tending directly to the plant itself. And that's the same way, guys, that you can help faith fill your heart by controlling, listen, trying to control what goes in your ear gates and your eye gates and what you're subjected to. But that won't make you, that won't fill your heart. It'll just help the process. That's disappointing, isn't it? Because a lot of us have tried to increase our faith just by controlling the environment we're in. Controlling what goes in our ear gates and our eye gates. What we touch, what we smell, right? Jesus didn't do that. He hung around the prostitutes and the drunkards and, you know, those who, they came into the kingdom of God quicker than those who were religious, didn't he? He let what was on the inside of him change what was on the outside of him. He had eternal life on the inside. They got mad at him because he didn't wash his hands. That he didn't do things the way the religious people did. But he was trying to get what was on the... Because it wasn't what was goes in the body, he said, that makes a man good. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He says that it's what comes out of the body that makes a man good. So if he made you good on the inside, then we need to get that life beginning to work all the way through us. Now let me say, you probably won't be able to grow much if you don't watch what you say or watch what you listen to and what you're entertained by and those kind of things and be conscious of what's going in your body. But you can't become good by doing that alone. You've got to yield to who God created you to be. So just like you'll go out into a... So I used to get paid to walk beans when I was 14, 15 years old. And we'd pull... Did you do that too? We'd pull butterprint. We'd pull Jimson weed. And what was that nasty stuff that... Not cuckaburs, but the ones that just took over the field. Oh, well. Kind of spotted, like, nasty stuff. Now, we wouldn't tend directly to the soybean plant. The transformation, should I go back into Scripture? You guys know we're talking Scripture. You got Scriptures to look up, I'm giving them to you. The transformation of your mind is by taking every thought captive to what? Christ. The anointing. Everything's got to go through your heart. You can fill your heart with the anointing. I was just talking to a preacher up in Iowa City, and he was asking me regarding this subject. And you could fill your heart with revelation, but it takes intimacy with God. Intimacy in His Word, intimacy in His presence. And unfortunately, most of the body of Christ won't sit and be taught. They won't sit and wait in the presence of God. They got things to do and places to go. And is there anything more important than God? In the presence of God? Getting God into the lives of other people? No. That's how you fill your heart. Now listen, faith should, number four, dictate your speech. In the book of James, it says, if a man is perfect in what he says, he's perfect in every way. It explains in James chapter 3 that the tongue is the rudder of your life. It steers your entire body. Whichever way that the tongue says to go, it's going to go. And we're going to begin. Listen, the last one is number 5. It mandates your conduct. But let's go to Proverbs chapter 4 and start. Proverbs chapter 4. You have to spend time in the Word. You have to spend time meditating on the things of God. You have to spend time disciplining what goes in, but that's not going to completely change your heart. 4 verse 23, right? Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. What does it say in the King James? Out of it are the issues of life. In the New King James, it says, not to go there. Praise the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of His benefits. It says above, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Now, the New Living Translation says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. So are we getting the general idea here? The general idea is, if out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, if you guard your heart, then you can begin to direct what comes out of your mouth. If you don't guard your heart, you'll never be able to give direction and correction to your tongue. What does it mean to guard your heart? What would it mean to guard a treasure? You protect it. There would be, if somebody walked by and boy, that's hard to say. Okay, let's say a pirate walks by and he's got a patch on and a gun and on one side and a sword on the other. You might want to guard your treasure, right? Sometimes you have to hide your treasure. You're not going to display your treasure for every man to see. There are certain people that you might open your heart to, and there are other people you won't. Come on. So you guard it. You protect it. You also care for it. You tend it. Adam was to tend to the garden, and when he didn't tend to the garden, the serpent came in and deceived Eve. Now that's part of it. You do tend to your treasure. You feed your treasure. You feed it. You feed your heart. What do you want to feed your heart with? The Word of God. What do you want to feed your heart with? With the revelation from the Spirit. The Word of God, revelation from your Spirit. When they fill your heart, now you don't have to try and control your tongue, because the real control is in setting the thermostat by tending to it, by guarding it. If I want it to be warm, then I am going to set the atmosphere for warmth to come out. I'm not going to stand above the register when the air conditioner is going and saying, I'm warm, I'm warm, I'm warm, I'm warm. I'm going to go to the thermostat and I'm going to change it, which is my heart. It's not my tongue. How many of you know the difference between a thermostat and a thermometer? A thermometer tells you what the temperature is. With a thermostat, you control the temperature. You set it. Your tongue is a thermometer. It's going to tell me right where your heart is. It's going to tell everybody right where your heart is. It's going to tell God where your heart is. I'm sorry, I didn't make that up. God did. When you speak, you're revealing your heart. Amen? So, instead of, because I went through this, and I still go through this at times, instead of trying not to say anything so you don't reveal your heart, let's guard our heart. For out of it flows all of the issues of life. For out of it flows the direction of my life. So how do I tend to my heart? I want to make sure I'm putting good things in it. And I want to make sure bad things aren't getting lodged in there. Because if they get in, if everything must pass through my heart. If it gets into my heart, it's going to pollute my spirit. And if it pollutes my spirit, my human spirit, that would be the small s, not the capital S. If it pollutes my spirit, then it is going to affect my ability to hear and discern from God's spirit. Remember we talked about emotions being not just in the soulish realm, but also in your spiritual realm? Because God is a spirit and He has emotions. God despises things. He gets jealous. He loves and He hates. That's what the Word of God says. So He has emotions. You understand, all emotions, you have emotions in your soul, but you have emotions in your spirit. Has anybody ever seen something that just made their spirit rise up on the inside and almost want to go to war over it? I'm talking about something, whether it's the abuse of a child or the murder of somebody that's innocent, and something on, it's not just up here, anger, it's way down in here. Righteous indignation. That's a spiritual emotion, guys. And so is the love of God. It's a spiritual emotion. And God, am I okay? God created the emotions. He did. And He'll use spiritual emotions to pull you into the right place. And He'll use godly sorrow produces what? That's a spiritual emotion. Worldly sorrow produces what? Death. See, Satan will use your soulish emotions to pull you where he wants you to go. Like a vehicle. Like a big old station wagon. God will pile the whole church up in that thing and He'll take them to the right place. But Satan will say, no, y'all getting this little festiva. It feels the same. He's still going down the road, right? But it's not the same quality. So just because, and when somebody gets born again, sometimes they'll go off the deep end and they'll feel guilty for being mad. Don't feel guilty for getting angry. The only reason that you should feel any kind of guilt is if you sin in your anger, then repent and get rid of the guilt. But just because you get angry doesn't mean that you've sinned. Jesus got angry. He didn't repent. He took a whip and cleared out the temple, didn't He? Come on. Jesus got frustrated. Well, where's your faith? You guys should know something about this by now. Peace be still. Why can't you cast that thing out? Bring the boy to me. He had emotions. But He was without sin. And when people first get born again, they begin to experience the love of God. Satan will try and take that love and pervert it as saying this, you should not. Have you ever heard a little kid say, we need to pray for the devil? Hey, you're to hate sin. He's already been judged. And to have the spiritual, to be able to separate the spiritual emotion from the soulish emotion, one is temporal, one is eternal. The emotion that changes according to whether or not the sun is shining or what time of the month it is or what time of the month it is for your wife, whatever that is, if that emotion is probably not eternal. Can I get an amen from the guys? Come on. You know, if your emotions change because of what you eat or how much sleep you had, do you realize that that's probably not God's kind of emotion that He's trying to lead you by? So those soulless emotions need to be subjected to the spiritual emotion. Amen? Well, thank God I'm not a woman. And I try to prove it every day. Because I wouldn't want to have to be subjected to my body fighting me that way. But if you have faith, man, you'll make it through that, the Word of God says. Even through childbearing. Praise the Lord. Just because you get a headache doesn't mean you got to be angry. Just because your back hurts doesn't mean that you have to take it out on somebody else. Praise the Lord. I'm not talking about women right now. Amen. All right. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. You know, this is a subject I think preachers are really... leery on teaching. Because being able to hear from the Holy Spirit and understanding the anatomy of who you are is so subjective to the temperature, feelings, weather. Somebody's got to divide this thing by the Word of God for you. Your spirit is not your soul, and your soul is not your spirit, but they connect in a way that is very intimate through that thing the scripture calls your heart. He said he would take your old stony heart, your heart of stone, and remove it from you and give you a heart of flesh, a soft thing, a supple thing. He said he could take the king's heart, and he can't change his will, but he could change his heart like he can change the course of a river. See, the will of a man is in the soul of a man. And the man became a living soul once he got his spirit. And the soul of the man belongs to him unless he gives it to God. Your will is in your soul. So, we've been taught in part that faith is a matter of making a decision. In part, that is true, because it's the first part. We make a decision to believe. But you don't believe with your will. You don't believe with your head. You believe with your heart. That's what the Word of God says. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to begin with verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you and the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So everything's got to pass through your heart. Everybody say, pass through your heart. Pass through your heart. For anything of faith to work, it's got to pass through your heart. For doubt to work, it's got to pass through your heart. For you to receive healing, it's got to pass through your heart. It's got to fill your heart. Okay? Your heart is the connecting point. It's a depository. It's a union between your spirit and your soul. Everything's got to pass through their heart. Your heart has eyes. You see with your heart. I'm trying to think how to say this, guys. I am recording what's around me with my eyes. I'm picking up data with my eyes. But I see with my heart. Because you know, I know, but we can both see the same thing. But one of us can have hope and faith, and the other can have doom and gloom and destruction and no future. I see with my heart. That's what faith does. It causes me to see with my heart. If you just see with your eyes, you're going to be a thermometer. If you see with your heart, you will be a thermostat. Everything flows through your heart. Every issue of life, the direction of your life is going to be established where? In your heart, the Word of God says. So you're picking up, I don't know if you see green the same way I see green, but we assume that is true. But you're picking up, there's a platform here, there's a podium here, there's chairs here. But see, a matter of my heart, I see a full church. I see a finished church. I see many, many pastors and ministers and preachers sitting here, coming out of here, going out and strengthening other congregations. I see that with my heart. I don't see it with my eyes, but what I see with my heart changes the way that I record the information that's coming through my natural eyes. You can have sight and not see. Jesus said they see, but they don't perceive. They hear, but they don't understand. So everybody say eyes. What are we talking about? Remember Jeremiah? What was the scripture, 29? That, help me out. For I know the plans I have for you. 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, plans for a hope and a future, not to harm you, right? You get that in your heart, you fill your heart with that, then guess what? Every time something rises up against you, you're looking for promotion. Praise the Lord. You're looking, I'm waiting, I just can't wait for judgment to fall. I just saw something the other day. I was praying and meditating on some scriptures, and every time there was a changing of the guard, judgment fell. You guys watch. We change presidents, there's going to be judgment. It begins in the house of God, always. When we see changing of the guard, when the generals are checking out and going to heaven, the generals of the kingdom of God are checking out, judgment's going to fall. That's good. Remember when every time somebody would become king, the prophet would go and say, now kill all your father's enemies. Kill them all. That's a picture of God. When there's a changing of authority, judgment falls. Anyway. Somebody needed to hear that. And judgment is good if you're a friend of the king's daddy. If you're an enemy to the king's daddy, not so good. Praise the Lord. And we're not just friends of the king, we are sons. Amen. I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened. Everybody say enlightened. Now, if you go back one scripture, he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And Jesus said in John chapter 17 that eternal life is to know the Father and to know the Son. So you know him, but you can know him better. How? That you get here's the way it literally translates, a fresh breath of the spirit you were born of. But you're not getting a different spirit. I got the spirit of Kool-Aid today, and I'll get the spirit of Hawaiian punch tomorrow. No, you're getting the same spirit, but it's a fresh breath of the spirit. And why is that necessary? It comes through intimacy. It comes through revelation. It comes through the anointing. It comes through the word. It comes through worship, you know, times with the Father. Communing with the Holy Ghost. It's a fresh breath of the Spirit, which enlightens. Got to go through your heart. The eyes of your heart. What does the heart do? Okay, just watch real quick. The heart sees into my spirit. And the brighter the eyes of my heart is, the more I can see. It passes through my heart, so that I can begin to take the revelation and, for me, think it in a way that I can communicate it. For us, that's English. Then I can prophesy. Then I can proclaim. Then I can edify. But if I don't have a brightness to the eyes of my heart, because I'm getting a fresh jolt of the Holy Ghost, a fresh flow, a fresh breath of the pneuma, fresh breath of the Spirit of the Lord, then it causes a cloudiness that's in my... It clears the thing out. You know as well as I do, when you're in the presence of God, man, your heart is bright. You don't have a question of what God's will is when you're in the presence of God, and you know it. Fresh breath of what you've been born of. Filling your wineskin with more new wine. You want to know the shortest shortcut to getting a fresh breath of the Spirit of God? Ministering to other people. Because see, when you give out of the Spirit, you got to have, it's just like water. As long as the connection's there, if I get water out of the tap, what's behind it? More water. Fresh water. How many of you ever lived in a house and in the summertime, if you let the water run a little bit, it gets down to that 60 degree temperature, 57 degrees of the earth, you know, and it's good and cold and comes out of the faucet. But you know, you first turn it on, it's warm, it's kind of tepid, I think they call it. When I was a kid, we had one of those old wells at the church that I went to. We used to have to go out there and we'd prime it a little bit, put a little water down it, you know, and get that leather swelled up a little bit. And you could feel it coming up, and it'd come up, and boy, when you really got that water flowing, somebody was cranking, it was cold, cold, and fresh. But how many know you didn't want to drink the first little bunch that came out because it usually had rust in it? It's got to pass through your heart. That's good, isn't it? It passes through your heart. I'm telling you, there are days when I come in here just like you do, and I've got to say, you know, oh Lord, I'm gonna worship, and it's a sacrifice. Boy, once you get in that flow though, and you get the fresh Spirit of God within you, praise the Lord. So the eyes of your spirit see. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Your heart sees. Everything's got to pass through your heart. Jesus said, if your eyes are good, what? What did he say? If your eyes are good, your whole body's what? Good. How many know somebody could be physically blind and have a lot of sight? Their eyes can be good. He wasn't talking about physical eyes. He's talking about the eyes of your heart. I'll take that. Thank you. Verse 11, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except for the Spirit of God. And your mind is not your spirit, but your spirit touches your mind through your heart. And your spirit is full of God's spirit if you're born again. God knows your heart, and you know his heart. How do you know his heart? Not with your head. You know it with your spirit. Passes through your heart. Then you bring it to understanding. Wisdom is down in your spirit. You have the mind of Christ, right? Yeah. Understanding is once it gets up into your head. And you have the ability to draw on it. And you won't have that until you have the ability to communicate it. Your ability to draw on the wisdom of God is called understanding. The ability to apply the wisdom of God is understanding. But you have to be able to communicate it. That's why 1 Corinthians, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. How we want to be able to edify somebody with it. Prophecy is seeing it in your spirit and speaking it with clarity and without pollution out of your mouth. How many of you ever heard somebody prophesy? And every time they prophesy, they end it with, thus say the Spirit of God. You can pollute prophecy by just going a little bit too far. So when he quits speaking, you need to quit speaking. What we have received is not the, this is a small s, spirit of the world, but the capital Spirit, the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is why we speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. I really like the way the New International Version says this. Now, we're going to go into verse 14 into the Greek because it's quite a difference in the King James, New King James, New American Standard, NIV. But it says, the person without the capital S, spirit does not accept the things that come from the capital S Spirit of God, but considers them foolish, for he cannot understand them because they are only discerned through the capital S Spirit. Now, let me look at that real quick in the Greek. The natural man cannot accept the things of the Spirit of God. Natural. The word natural is the word, I just want to say it this way, psychosis. What other word do we get from psychosis? Psyche. Your soul. So the man who's thinking with his mind alone, the man who's picking up on what temperature is it, what color is it, what does it smell like, sensory information only. Do you understand that we have to be able to interpret this world into faith? So just because it's dark doesn't mean I'm going to say, no, it's not dark, it's light. If I want it to be light and the Holy Ghost says it should be light, then I'm going to say light be. I'm not going to say it's not dark. But I'm also going to be led by the Spirit before I do that. Otherwise, I'm going to look like a fool. Because remember, faith doesn't originate in our soul. It comes out of our spirit. It's not a product of our intellect. It's a product of our inner man. Faith comes from our heart, not our head. So we're talking about the origin of where faith is. It is not, it needs to be agreed upon by your will for it to become a reality in your life. But that's only part of it. It's got to fill your heart. All right. So the natural man, the psychos man, unspiritual, does not accept the things of the pneuma of God. So there's two words here, pneumatos and theo. Theo is where we get God from. So it's not a matter of is it the Spirit of God or not. That's why the NIV translates it with a capital S. The natural man, the man that's only in his head, cannot accept the things of God because they're only interpreted or understood by the pneuma of Theo, the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. So is God's Spirit in the mind of a man? No, down in here. But if you allow the Spirit of God, and please, I am not relegating God to only information, but let's call it information and data. If the information and data, the download from God is down in here, I have to let it pass through my heart so I can get up into here and begin to govern and dominate the information that's coming in from this way. And I wish it were just a matter of mathematics, but it's not. I can't just flood myself with this. There's an act of my will that I have to say, I'm rejecting that but accepting this. That's why it says the spiritual man is not subject to any judgments, but he makes judgments about all things. What am I making a judgment about? Whether or not it agrees with the will and the word of God. And I can only do that by the Spirit of God, because faith begins where the will of God is known. And the will of God is known inside of my spirit. It's confirmed, or let's call it confirmed. We sift it, we harvest it out, we hone it out, like sifting for gold, through the Word of God. Praise the Lord. I think this is good. Romans chapter 10. I don't know about you, but praise the Lord. Yes, you keep saying the same things again. Then start living that way. Praise the Lord. Where did I say go, Romans? Romans chapter 10. So with the heart, we see. With the heart, I need to go back to 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, I missed the whole reason we went there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Say, that's all right, Pastor, we forgive you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, if I were worried about entertaining you, I would, I'd get nervous right now, but I'm not. This is what we speak, not words taught by human wisdom, verse 13, but words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The man without the Spirit does not accept these things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish. And he cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit, capital S, makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to judgments. Who knows the mind of the Lord as so instructing? But we have the mind of Christ. See, we don't understand with our mind. We understand in reality with our heart, because everything has to pass through your heart. Your spirit has a will. You yielded that will to the Holy Ghost when you accepted Jesus as your Lord. Okay? And you still have to yield to that. You can pollute that thing and not yield to the Holy Ghost inside of you. What are you talking about? Your spirit agrees with God's spirit. It testifies with God's spirit that you're Son of God. When you're out of God's will, what are you doing? Your spirit is fighting His spirit. Should I say that again? Sometimes I think we think our spirit is perfect. No, it was perfected. If your spirit was perfect, it never could be polluted. Your mind, your soul, let's say it this way, your soul, just like the temple that Pastor Josh ministered about was a pattern of the temple in heaven, your soul is a pattern of your spirit. And so you have a will inside of your spirit. When you're in agreement with God, your spirit's not fighting Him. You want to be at one with, you want to be at peace with God. You want to be one with God. Now, here's how you can tell when you're not. When you're not, your spirit's in contention with Him, and it rises up into your heart and it starts coming out of your mouth. Well, I know I shouldn't say that, but. I know I shouldn't feel that way, but. Praise the Lord. So with your heart you see, with your heart you understand. It's got to pass through your heart. Your heart does not have a will. Your spirit does and your mind does. Your heart is a union, a connecting point, a depository. Okay. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 10, is that where I said go? We got 15 more minutes.
15 more minutes.
Yes. Are you guys still here? Verse 6. Thank you, Jesus. With the heart you see, with the heart you understand, with the heart you speak. Every word that you speak must first be spoken with the lips of your heart. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend in the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth, and it is in your heart. You say with your heart before you speak with your mouth. Now guys, it's a lot easier to do this in the negative way. And I'd rather give you a positive example than a negative one. But how many of you have ever had an argument in your heart with somebody before you had the argument? Come on. And then you've had it so many times that the words get all conjuncted when they come out. And when you wait long enough, all the nastiest stuff comes out. Not the logic, not the reason, not the rehearsed offenses, but all the sharp things. The little prongs with venom on them. You know what I mean? The daggers with poison. Those things won't come out of your mouth if you... I don't know where that came from. I do. It came out of your heart. You've had that conversation before with yourself in your heart. You spoke those things in your heart. Now, how does that happen? First, I see with my heart, and then I understand with my heart, whether it's fear or it's faith. whether it's joy or it's stress and anxiety. Can I say that without? Yes, I can. The mind, your mind, I just need to get medicated because my mind just keeps going. No, you need to work on your heart. Because your mind is supposed to follow your heart, which is supposed to follow your spirit, which is supposed to follow the Spirit of God. And then your brain will line up. Now, that doesn't mean you might not need a mental medication to get things going in the right direction. I'm not saying that. You listen to the doctor and the Holy Ghost. Because, you know, if your yin is supposed to be going yang, but it's going yang, you may. I don't know if you need to do what the Holy Ghost tells you to do. Maybe you should quit drinking coffee. I don't know. Put the monster away. Amen. Amen. I like my monsters. You speak with your heart. Who you are is established in your heart. If it were just established in my head, then it's just going to be a matter of information that I recorded. Am I right? How many of you want to be just a big old ball of experiences? And you wrap that up and that defines who you are. Well, if that's going to define who you are, then that's going to define your future. Thank God it doesn't define my future, and it doesn't define yours. My future is wide open with possibilities. It's not a matter of what happened to me when I was 6, what happened to me when I was 12, the decisions I made when I was a teenager. Those things are just information and experiences. Some of them came with emotions. Some of them came without emotions. Some of them I created. Some of them were created around me. It was a gloomy day this morning, but this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. Where do I establish that? In my heart. Then it comes out of my mouth. And eventually, and this morning it took a little while, my body will line up. Amen? So, with the heart I see, with the heart I understand, with the heart I speak. Verse 10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess faith and are saved. So you believe with your heart. Two rivers. One's natural. One spiritual. Now the natural is not evil. The natural is supposed to be governed by the spiritual. You believe that too, because if you didn't, you would not control the environment around you. You wouldn't put shingles on your roof so it'd be dry. You wouldn't put propane in your tank so that you could heat up your house. You wouldn't put gas in your car so that would go. You believe that you're supposed to control your environment. But see, your environment is supposed to be controlled by your thermostat, your spirit. All right. That's good. I like that. I like that a lot. So you believe with your heart. Part of that belief is getting your soulish will to agree. Because your spiritual will now agrees. We could really oversimplify it and say there's three wills involved here. There's your will. There's God's will. Right? And there's your mental will and your spiritual will. And then there's God's will. Now, it's not good enough for faith to work just to have two of them in agreement, because God's always in agreement. So the will that is subjected to the temporal things, the will that's subjected to the way you feel or the temperature or what you ate, that has got to be governed by the will that's in your spirit. It's easy to get your spirit in line with God's spirit, isn't it? Now, if you've done it, you did it once when you got born again. If you're a worshiper, you do it all the time. If you get in the Word, you do it all the time. It's easy to get your spirit to agree with God's spirit. Now, it's a different thing to get your mind to agree with it. How do you do that? You got to feel your heart. You got to see with your heart. You got to understand in your heart. Because out of it are going to be all the directions and the issues of your life. All right. Let's go to one more scripture, and that's Ephesians chapter 3. So we're going to pull this thing all the way around and exit. Ephesians chapter 3. Tell me when you're there. Amen? Amen. Verse 16. You'll find this in every single one of the epistles, guys. You'll find this truth. 1 Corinthians, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. You'll find it in 1 and 2 Peter. You'll find it in 1 and 2 Timothy. And you'll find it in Titus. I pray that the eyes of your of His glorious inheritance may strengthen you with power through His, capital S, Spirit in your inner being. We just read that. I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened. I keep praying that God would give you a fresh breath of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. The eyes of your heart being enlightened. I mean, that He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit. Talking about the anatomy. I'm not going to put gas for my car in the place that says oil. I'm not going to put gasoline inside my windshield washer container fluid thing in my car or my radiator expecting to go. I got to put gas in the gas tank so that it can go through my fuel injector or carburetor into my engine to produce the power. Your gas tank is your human spirit, not your mind. I'm giving you all kinds of examples so you can see. We're hitting this, we're looking at this mountain from every direction I can think at. Your fuel injector or your carburetor is your heart. What's it doing? It's mixing two different substances together so we can have a dynamic explosion, which will produce light. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, in your inner man, the hidden man of the heart, the guy that's right underneath the heart, your spirit man. So that Christ, now don't think of little Jesus sitting on a little throne in your heart. I used to think that. Think of the anointing, the Spirit of God, the power of God, the life of God. So that Christ may dwell in your heart. Now listen, you're strengthened in your spirit so Christ may dwell in your heart. You're strengthened in your spirit so your heart would be full of the Spirit of God. You're strengthened in your spirit so that your heart may be empowered. The eyes of your heart may be enlightened. You're strengthened in here to do what? To cause your heart to be full of faith. I thought I had to get my head to agree with it. No, work on your heart. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, period, extension, that you may know the hope of His calling. Man, we have focused, and thank God we focused on the Word, because faith is empowered, strengthened, and fed by the Word. Your ability to discern through the Spirit, the Word of God is like a sifter. You ever sift flour? The Word of God is like a sifter for your spirit, your human spirit. So through your human spirit and the Word of God in the sifting place of your heart, you can source out and make a judgment. This is God. This isn't God. This is God. This is God. The only thing that can do that is the Word. So yes, you need to put that into your heart so that you can sift out of your human spirit. Because listen, your human spirit is not perfect, but it's been perfected. Did that mess you up a little bit? See, God's Spirit is inside you. He's perfect. But your wineskin is still subject to corruptibility. But see, now you've had the incorruptible nature taken out of your human spirit, given a new one that recharges by the Spirit of God. That's why you have to be strengthened in there. What happens if you take the spirit out? If the spirit is weak, the body will soon grow weak. It's the spirit that sustains the body in time of sickness, the Word of God says. So you take the spirit out of your body, and what happens? It's going to become corrupted. You're strengthened by that intimacy, that flow of the Holy Spirit. We got to get over this religious hurdle about your spirit being perfect, because it's not. It has been perfected. And I mean perfected in that it is complete, but you can pollute it. I got mad the first time a pastor told me I'm not going to pollute my spirit. I was like, what do you mean pollute your spirit? You can't pollute my spirit. My spirit's been made new, yes. And so were my shoes a year ago. So was my belt 2 years ago. It was made new, but it's not new anymore, is it? But you have something that can create that newness every single day. When your spirit isn't testifying with his spirit, you're going to be getting a subpar kind of power. All right, praise the Lord. Everything flows through my heart. I see with my heart. If you want to think out of spirit, you got to get this. If you want to think out of your spirit, you got to get this. Because the thoughts of God have to flow through your heart. Do you know what happens when God speaks to your spirit by his spirit? It doesn't sound like the way you think, but it rises up in your heart, and eventually it's going to get to your intellect if your heart will agree with it, if your heart will get in line with it. And by the time it gets to your head, guys, you understand it's going to sound a little bit like you, because you're hearing it through your soul now. You're translating it from spiritual truth taught by spiritual words into a language that you communicate to yourself with. And I would think everybody in here, besides Papa, probably speaks to yourself mostly in English. Right? You don't always think in English, do you? And he probably thinks more rudimentarily in Estonia. That's language is a product of the soul. Now, I'm going to say this one thing, and then we'll quit, okay? Remember that language was probably instilled by God to create, not to communicate. And when our spirit and our soul were disjoined in that place of the heart, language became a dominating factor in the Tower of Babylon. Language is in the soul of a man. So when you hear God and you're hearing him in English or Spanish or whatever you're hearing him in, you understand you're pulling it through your heart. That's why you got to be careful. That's why sometimes people prophesy the same thing, or it sounds like the same by the time they get to the end. Careful with that. All right, amen. Have we learned anything tonight? See, your heart's good. Your spirit's good. Your heart is good. He gave you a new one. It just takes a little adjustment of your attitude. I was out with Pastor Bill Winston a month or so ago, and I said, let's slip into the Spirit. We were walking down the hallway. We joined hands and started praying. I mean, bam, just like that, the Holy Ghost was there. It just takes a little adjustment to get in the Holy Ghost if you're born again and full of the Spirit. It just takes a little adjustment, man. Because your heart's good and your spirit's good. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We thank you, Lord, that our heart is in your hand, that our spirit is filling our heart, that your word is in our head. It's in our. We put it before our natural eyes. We're putting it into our natural ears. And Lord, the eyes of our heart is looking toward the truth that's in our spirit. Thank you, Father. Our nature is to love you. Our nature is to seek you. Our nature is to desire you. Our nature is to want you. Thank you. You've changed our nature. Lord, Lord, if we've allowed our spirit to be polluted in any way, we thank you repentance cleanses that. Your spirit so easily transforms and renews from the inside out our spirit and our heart. And the resistance comes in our head, in our emotions, in our soul. Thank you. There's a power that abides within us that transforms it. We yield to that. Be Lord in our spirit. Be Lord in our heart. Govern our thoughts as we learn to grow in this faith and this love that you put inside of us. Guys, let's pray for the church for a minute. Father, we just agree together, Father, that you fill this house. Fill this house with hungry spirits who are willing to submit their flesh, govern their mind by the anointing, by the word. Fill this house, Father, with men and women and children from all nations, even Iowa, Lord, from Des Moines. Fill these chairs with people that used to call this place home, people that still call it home but haven't set foot in here for a decade. Fill this house to overflowing. Fill the balconies. Fill the overflow areas. Fill the children's area. Father, fill this place to where we got to add on and have more services. We know it's there. Now we call it into being in agreement. Our spirit agrees. Our heart is full of a full house. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Fill the Spanish service. Fill the Nepali service. Fill up a French service, Father. Whatever language we need to communicate the gospel in, and this of truth, this anointing, fill this house, Father, and give us the ability to speak in a way that fills people's hearts, activates your spirit inside of them, brings life to them. We thank you, Jesus. Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, let your truth pass through my heart. Let it fill my mind, transform my thoughts. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for your spirit. I thank you for it, Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen, amen, amen.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.